Actually, this message is one I've been wanting to give for a long time. It's entitled Midlife Crisis. You know, we got a good midlife crisis group here. I was just looking at you. You know, we got some that you're not there yet. Okay. You got a lot of them way past it here, but we got a majority here, I think, that's sort of there, or you're just getting through it, or you're starting it, or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, midlife crisis, there's a lot of things you can't do about it. You can't do anything about getting old. You can't change that. But there are certain things that you can do that will help you get through this. Now, I was once reading or heard a message about the law of atrophy. It just means, you know, wasting away, something that's wasting away because it's not being used, by the way. Law of atrophy. You want to experience that, you get a cup of hot coffee and just set it there and just let it sit there, and eventually it'll get cold. Law of atrophy sets in, it gets cold. It's, you know, I don't like cold coffee, I'll tell you, that stuff is rough. But anyway, there's a home up in the mountains, nothing but the foundation left, and I ride... Used to ride a four-wheeler up there, motorcycles up in the mountains, Turkeycock Mountain. And I often would go there, and I would look at just the foundation, and I would think, what happened? And I would imagine hearing the children play, and I would imagine the smell of fried chicken on the wood stove, and maybe the parents, what did the parents look like? I could imagine when it was clearer, the field, the grass. But now all that's left is just a rock foundation, and atrophy set in. No one was taking care of it. It's not being used. And it troubles me. If someone would have taken care of it, it'd still be there. You know, just all it takes is a little bit of effort to take care of it, and probably that home would still be there. Of course, the Garden of Eden, you know, they were told to dress and keep it. And I imagine very quickly after they were ousted from the garden, that place probably looked like a jungle in 1 year because, you know, no one was atrophy set in. Bottom line is you have to take care of things. You have to take care of your body. You have to take care of vehicles. You have to take care of your home. You have to take care of your garden, business, grass. You got to take care of everything. Then there's another law, the law of diminish and return, that's troubling to me. The law of diminish and return. You want to try that one out. Take you a nice flower, a rose, and smell it. Take a deep breath. Smell it. Smell it again. Smell it again. Smell it again. And eventually, the fragrant, it just sort of dissipates. You can't smell it anymore. I used to think that I didn't understand this law as a teenager. We had a boat many years ago, and it was like being in heaven when we had that boat on the lake, and we would ski and boat all day. And I remember thinking, I will never get tired of this. Never. And we sold that boat and got another one. And it wasn't the same, was it, Ronnie? It just wasn't the same. It was never the same. I couldn't get it back, whatever it was. And the bottom line is you can't do the same thing over and over expecting to get the same return, the same results. It's just not the way it works. The law of diminish and return. Of course, Solomon will say, you know, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. There is a holy discontentment that I think God has placed within us. From God's perspective, if you were totally satisfied, you would never get to where God wants you to be. And where does God want you to be? Well, he wants you to grow. He wants you to develop character within. And often in our comfort zone, this never happens. And it's amazing that we try desperately to stay in that comfort zone. We build our lives around, how can I stay in this comfort zone? How can I feel comfortable? Cut the air up. You know, I'm too hot in here. I'm too cold. You know, I need something to eat. I need to, you know, I'm not comfortable enough. It's comfort zone. I got to get my comfort zone. The only problem is we don't grow in that comfort zone. Now, there are fundamentals a person must know about God. I think so many people try to enter a perceived relationship with God. You know, it's like, okay, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Now, if you give your heart to the Lord, raise your hand, They enter this perceived relationship with God, and they become bitter later in life because they're not told about the fundamentals. Now, I want to look at a man who overlooked the fundamentals of living. This man got everything he wanted out of life, but he overlooked the fundamentals. He said this. He said, "Man, look." He said, "I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I made me pools of water. I got me servants and maidens." Talking about Solomon here, he got everything out of life. Servants, you know, I like that idea. Servants, you know, I wish. But did you know you have servants? You just didn't know it. they're called. One set of servants you have is called horsepower. HP, horsepower. It's in your, you know, it's your vehicle. It's what makes, you know, your lawnmower, mowing your grass. Imagine if you didn't have a lawnmower. You would have to hire somebody to cut that with scissors or something, you know. But you've got the tiller, you got the garden tractor, you got your car that will take you to point A to point B. That's horsepower servants working for you every single day of your life. And then you have let's see, what else do you have? Energy slaves working for you every single day. When you cut that stove on and that eye gets red and you put your food on, you know, that's energy slaves just working and working for you. It keeps your home warm or cool, or cut on the lights, the TV. That's energy slaves. And so if you would imagine every morning you get up and you come out on your palace and you look out there and it's just like you got thousands of horsepower slaves and energy slaves ready to work for you every single day of your life. Makes your life easy, enjoyable. But Solomon had the real thing, by the way. He just, you know, go do this, go cut that grass, go plow that field. He said, "I get at me gold and silver. I got me men singers and women singers." He didn't buy the CD, you know, he just went out and hired the whole band, you know, come play, come sing for me. But he comes to Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 17, after all of this, he says, "So I came to hate life, because everything done under the sun seemed wrong to me. Everything was pointless. It was like trying to catch the wind. Therefore," reading from a different translation, but anyway, "therefore I hated life." Man, you know what that is? That's a midlife crisis right there. I hated life. And you know, what it is we come to a point where we think we got life all figured out. That's sort of what causes the midlife crisis. You know, we think, well, okay, I've experienced everything. I've done everything. You know, I've got everything, and I've got life all figured out. And listen, if all you've got is this life figured out, you're not very smart. It's a lot more to it than just this life. But it works like something like this. Well, you know, I found the love of my life. We got married. I got a good business. Work. I got a home. Got children. They moved away now. And here I am. And I, you know, I've experienced everything. I got life all figured out. And now I hate life. And it's almost we develop this confidence that it's nothing else out there. You know, it's nothing else out there for me. Nothing to experience, no more, nothing to enjoy, no more beauty. You know, Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It talks about, well, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is there nothing else out there for you to love? Joy. Is there nothing else out there for you to enjoy? Peace. You know, it's like, okay, midlife crisis, no more fruit of the Spirit. It's gone. And have you ever, I did this as a, I think you can relate to this. Have you ever, as a younger person, you know, I used to drive just, one of the greatest days of my life was when I got my permit. I would just drive to be driving. I wasn't going anywhere. I was just driving, you know. And I would look at road, and I'd think, I wonder where that road goes to. And it was like a thrill to find out. I wonder where that road, let's find out where that road goes to. And just drive out that road and find out where it comes out at. And then, of course, with motorcycles, oh, man. There was a motorcycle ad for a trail bike a long time ago. It talked about satisfying the wanderlust inside of you. And, man, I could relate to that because I would go out on trails and I'd get there on this trail and it's like, I wonder where this trail goes. And I just keep driving and riding this bike and motorcycle and just, I had to find out where this trail went to. And if it ended, sometimes I would get off the motorcycle and just start walking. And I wonder what's over that little knoll. This next little hill here, I wonder what's on the other side of it. And now, I don't even care. Where does that road go? What difference does it make? You just be at the end of it when you get there. There's nothing out there. If I get off my motorcycle, you know, and I climb this mountain, I'll just be on top of the mountain. Big deal. Midlife crisis. Here, I got a definition. You expect nothing out of life, and you get it every time. Often we're overlooking the fundamentals of living. And what we need is an attitude adjustment. And I'm going to talk about an attitude adjustment here. And the attitude has to do with being presented again with challenges in your life. It's not that the challenges are not there. It's just when you get older, you don't readily accept those challenges. And there's a reason why. You're a little bit scared, a little bit fearful. But Job, and I'm just going to start here, and I'm going to just skip all around here with statements that was made. But Job 38 and verse 1, Job needed an attitude adjustment. And then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have so much insight. Who determined its dimension? Who stretched out the measuring line on it? Who laid its cornerstone? When I set a limit for it and put up bars and gates, when I said, you may come this far, but no further. Here you proud waves will stop. And if you ever, you know, you're on the edge of the, you know, on the beach there, and you're wondering about these, you know, these waves come in, and but they, you know, they're, I was, my wife and we were blessed on our 20th anniversary to visit Hawaii, and on Maui, we went down to the ocean. And boy, you hadn't seen waves until you see them there. I mean, they're something else. And they just, this huge thing just crash into the rocks. And you wonder, you know, after watching them a while, I thought, I'm surprised this island is even here anymore. I mean, how can they just, the resistance of that and huge waves. And but, you know, come no further. You must stop there, God says. Have you gone into the springs of the sea or walked through the valley of the ocean's depths? No, I mean, there's so much that hasn't even been discovered there under the ocean. Can you bring out the constellations of stars at night? Do you know the laws of the sky or make them rule the earth? Or can you make them rule the earth? Who puts wisdom in the heart or gives understanding to the mind? You know, Job's attitude adjustment was, he had to be challenged by God. Just like Solomon, they both thought they had figured out life. Solomon ended up hating life when he thought he had it all figured out. Job ended up thinking he knew more than God. And it's a strange thing. You sort of, people fit into those two categories a lot of times. You know, either you come to this point and you think you got it all figured out, and either you will hate life or you'll think you know more than God. And of course, Job, from that point, entered into extreme self-righteousness, and he had to be challenged by God. You know, when you stop being challenged in life, life is no fun. And I think it often leads to a midlife crisis. You know, there's a car Dodge has called the Dodge Challenger. The word means contender or competitor. Contender, competitor. You know, you think about Solomon. Solomon didn't have either one of those. He didn't have any competitors. He didn't have any contenders. You know, he hated life. There was a movie many years ago. I don't know why I'm bringing this up. Vanishing Point. About a Dodge Challenger. A white Dodge Challenger. And I can't remember them. I don't think this movie had a moral to it other than to get from point A to point B. And he met his challenge head on, didn't he? And in a bulldozer. Crazy movie. Don't watch it. But sort of, it was something about it was pretty cool. But, you know, God may not speak to you from a whirlwind, but you are being challenged every day of your life. The law of atrophy. You know, it may be certain that law has set in. Maybe you need to, there's a challenge there, things you need to do. Maybe you need to clean your vehicle out. That's a challenge. You know, clean your home. That's a challenge. the law of diminishing return, that's a challenge. Quit trying to get the same results doing the same thing. The challenge of getting old, man, that's big right there. Getting old, handling that. The challenge of that. You know, when you were young, you looked at everything as a challenge. Did you know that? I mean, and you loved it. It was like, yeah, another challenge is here. As you get older, I think a certain amount of fear and apprehension sets in as you get older. And these challenges are a little bit harder to take. And I think we must courageously look for these challenges in our lives. You know, I have it's a big old dead pine tree in my backyard, well, in the woods. And, you know, that thing needs to come down. I've used a chainsaw all of my life. Since I was 12, I've used a chainsaw. My parents used to strap it to me. It was crazy. I think they were trying to kill me. We used to rent a chainsaw. They would rent a chainsaw for me. And this place would say, we can't rent you a chainsaw. You're too little. You're a too little boy. You know, we're not going to rent that guy. You know, anyway, my father rigged this belt up that hooked around this part of the chainsaw, you know, where your pistol grip, where you give it the throttle, and the belt come over and around on the handle grip. And I wore it over my shoulder because it weighed too much. It was a 32-pound Pioneer chainsaw. Yeah, it was heavy. But I started thinking about that. You know, if that thing would have got hung in a tree, cutting it down, there's no way to run because it's strapped to you. But God was with me and protected me from all that stuff, and here I am. But this big tree, you know, I find myself, I'm a little bit scared to do this. And I think as we want to play it safe, too much so, as we get older. Play it safe. And I would challenge you to figure out how to be safe. Figure out a way to be safe, but accept the challenge anyway. Just, you know, if you think about it, you can figure out a way to be safe. This tree, the only thing I'm worried about is it hitting my garden. I'm not worried about cutting it down. I'm worried about where it's going to go. And so I'm going to I've figured it out. I said, I'm going to take a come along and some chain and rope, and I'm going to just tie it off so that I know it, when it falls, it will go in the right direction. You know, just figure out a way to be safe, but accept the challenge. Now, and use common sense. Anyway, I want to conclude with this verse in Matthew 25 and verse 24. Matthew 25 and verse 24, he says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you're a hard man, reaping where you haven't sown, and gathering where you have not strawed, and I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth, and lo, you have what is yours. You know, that statement, I was afraid. I was afraid. I'm afraid. Just think about that with what you face. And when you come to that, you know, you say, okay, I'm afraid. Ask yourself these three questions. Does God still grant boldness to do what you need to do? Absolutely. He says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Second question, does God still protect? You find yourself a little bit fearful, just ask yourself, okay, does God still grant me boldness? Yes, He will. Does He still protect? Yes, He will. He'll keep you safe. Just ask for that protection, that thing you're getting ready to do. And third, you might want to ask, how does God respond to people who say, I'm afraid always, and who always use that as an excuse? I'm afraid. Well, you can read the rest of that verse, Matthew 25 and verse 26, where God says, you wicked and slothful servant. Is it just fear that is keeping you from moving forward? Don't let playing it safe rob you of the great challenges of life. Because the bottom line is, when you stop being challenged in life, life isn't very fun. And it can lead to a midlife crisis.